Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the FinecoBank first quarter 2022 results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Alessandro Foti, CEO of Fineco. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining our first quarter results conference call. Before having a closer look to our results, let me please underline that in the recent months, there has been a huge change in the structure of the market, which is further enlarging our growth opportunities. As you know, our new dimension of growth is underpinned by the recent acceleration of the structural trends reshaping the society. This has been further strengthened by the dramatic increase in the interest rates scenario since the beginning of the year. Our business model as a one-stop shop quality platform is benefiting by the new market structure, as we expect, and strong increase in our net financial income thanks to the strong gearing to the interest rates of our quality and capital light net interest income, which is driven by our clients' valuable transactional liquidity and not by lending as for other banks. On investing, we expect strong results despite the challenging environment with robust inflows driven by structural trends and by the growing contribution by Fineco Asset Management. On brokerage, we expect a structural higher floor compared to the pre-pandemic levels, thanks to our quality target market based on wealthy and financially aware clients and to our business model. The main outcome is that Fineco is becoming more and more a fast-growing and capital-light business with a structurally higher profitability and a structurally higher room to dispose of it, as the leverage ratio is no more a point of attention. This will allow us to distribute a higher level of dividends and at the same time to be in the position to invest more on our growth. Let's now move on slide five. Going into the details of our quarterly results, adjusted net profits in the quarter was equal to 124 million, up by 30.5% year-on-year, thanks to our diversified business model with all the three product areas that are firing at once. Adjusted revenues had 256 million, increasing by 23% year-on-year, and mainly supported by the investing, thanks to the growth in asset under management and the higher control of the value chain by Fineco Asset Management. Operating costs were well under control at 69 million, increasing by 4.1% year-on-year, and confirming operating leverage as a key strength of the bank. Adjusted cost-income ratio was equal to 27%. On cost, let me please remind you that the strategic decision to manage almost 100% internally our IT is protecting us from the inflation on IT cost. Our capital position confirmed to be strong and safe with a common equity Tier 1 ratio at 19.3%. Our commercial activity is accelerating as well. Also in April, we recorded strong results with net sales at more than 1 billion and the mix confirmed to be strong with around 0.6 billion in asset under custody and around 0.4 billion in asset under management, of which 77% represented by Fineco asset under management retail net sales. Brokerage revenues are estimated for April at around 14 million, around 20%, 24% higher compared to the average monthly revenues in the period 2017-2019. This result was achieved despite volumes have been extraordinarily low in the month, at levels last seen before 2018, when our monthly brokerage revenues were much lower. This confirming once again that the floor of the business is now definitely higher. Let's now move on slide 6. As announced, we reached very strong results also in this quarter, with adjusted net profit at 123.6 million, plus 30.5% year on year on a like-for-like basis, despite the very challenging macro scenario. Revenues at 255.7 million, up 23.2% year on year, as we have been able to catch the strong acceleration of the structural trends in place, mainly thanks to the contribution of investing and to the robust net financial income. Operating costs well under control at 69 million, increasing by 4.1% year on year, excluding costs strictly related to the growth of the business. Let's now move on slide 7 and start to analyze more in detail the dynamics of our results. Net financial income in the quarter at 107 million, increasing by more than 43% year on year, net interest income at 59.3 million, and profit from treasury management at 48.1 million. Let me highlight that given the new interest rates environment for this year and going forward, we expect a significant acceleration in the contribution of the net interest income to the net financial income, and we don't expect additional profits from treasury management. Let me remind our sensitivity to a change in interest rates, which is driven by our clients' valuable and sticky transactional liquidity. A parallel shift of plus 100 basis points would generate 147 million of additional net interest income. One of the main consequences of our focus on becoming more a platform than a bank is that we are continuing to accelerate the growth of our non-financial income, which in the quarter reached 147.6 million, up 11.9% year on year, mainly thanks to the positive contribution of investing and banking. Overall, brokerage registered an excellent quarter at 59.7 million, close to the record levels of the first quarter 2021, and strongly increasing compared to the last quarter of 2021, confirming a structurally higher floor compared to pre-pandemic levels. Now, jumping on slide 21, we will deep dive on the performance of the brokerage business. In the first quarter of the year, brokerage confirmed that the floor of the business is structurally higher compared to the past, and regardless of the level of volatility. As you can see in the chart on the top of the slide, in the first quarter of the year, brokerage revenues reached 59.7 million, resulting in a monthly average 77% higher compared the monthly average revenues in the period 2017-2019. In April, estimated brokerage revenues at 14 million, around 24% higher compared to the average monthly revenues in the period 2017-2019, despite the volumes on the market have been extraordinarily low in the month, at levels last seen before 2018. When our monthly brokerage revenues were much lower. Let me remind you that the growth of the brokerage business is driven by the contribution of three structural components. First, the deep reshape of our brokerage business. In this regard, we are live with the crypto offer on Bitcoin and Ethereum through CFDs, options, and listed ETPs with our usual strict and rigorous target market. We are also live with our leveraged certificates platform, and in the third quarter of 2022, we will launch a brand new brokerage platform, which will combine our state-of-the-art standard with top quality, easy to use. Second, as you can see on slide 22, the client base using our platform is widening, with active investors that have grown significantly in absolute numbers, standing around 35% above the average level in of 2018-2019. Let me remind you that our active investors have an average of 4 executed orders per month, are wealthy people in their 40s/50s, with assets on average above 200,000 euros. And the vast majority of them has a relationship with our financial advisors for long-term planning of their financial wealth. We are also live with the most competitive offer in Italy to catch the next generation of active investors. Third, we are continuously increasing our retail market share. Let's now move on slide 8 for a focus on investing. As you know, we are in the sweet spot to capture the structural trends in place in Italy, and also thanks to our initiatives, we have experienced a strong acceleration towards asset under management. On top of this, Fineco Asset Management is now reaching a new dimension in the economies of scale, this taking more control of the value chain. As a result, investing revenues were equal to 73.4 million in the first quarter of 2022, increasing by 28.4% year on year, with management fees increasing by 28.5% year on year. The quarterly comparison is characterized by the usual seasonality in the PFA's costs related to FIR and the Nasarco, that they are higher at the beginning of the year, and to 4.2 million of other commissions in the fourth quarter of 2021 related to operating efficiency reached throughout the year in the value chain on institutional classes by Fineco Asset Management, which are booked each year in the fourth quarter. Management fees margins after tax increased to 52 basis points in the quarter despite the negative market performance, thanks to Fineco Asset Management delivering on its strategic discontinuity and to the decumulation products, which are increasingly shifting towards equity. On top of this, we have also recorded a positive contribution by Fineco Asset Management activity on the substitution of funds underlying or wrappers with its own funds, which is in turn reinforcing the effect coming from retail classes. Let's now move on slide 9 for a focus on our cost. This slide confirms once again efficiency to be part of our DNA and core in our bank, representing a clear and unique competitive advantage. Also, this quarter was characterized by costs directly related to the strong acceleration of our growth dynamics in the new normal world. Operating costs in the quarter at 69 million, growing by 4.1% year on year, excluding costs related to the growth of the business, mainly additional 1.7 million costs for Fineco Asset Management, that they are current with the acceleration to further expand its business and have a higher control of the value chain, additional 1.6 million in marketing cost. Staff expenses at 28.3 million in the period, increasing by 4.8% on a yearly basis, net of cost related to the expansion of the business of Fineco Asset Management. Finally, non-HR cost at 40.6 million, growing by 3.5% year on year, net of the above mentioned costs related to the growth of the business. Let's now move on slide 11 for a focus on our capital ratios. Fineco confirmed once again a rock solid capital position on the wave of a safe balance sheet. Common equity tier 1 ratio at 19.31%, leverage ratio at 3.99%, in line with the optionality allowed by ECB and Bank of Italy. Our leverage ratio, excluding the exposure towards central banks, is equal to 3.80%. Risk-weighted assets at 4.678 million, and total capital ratio at 30% as of March 2022. Let's now move on slide 13. As you know, in the first quarter of 2022, our net sales continued to be very strong and sound, despite the very challenging macro context. This further confirming the structural changes of our dimension of growth. Inflows in asset under management proved to be solid in the period, thanks to the ability of our network to support clients in the long-term financial planning. Let me now spend a few words on the recruiting, which is confirming the recent trend we discussed in the past quarters. Fineco is emerging more clearly as the perfect bank for professionals looking to grow their own business in a sustainable way. As you can see on slide 14, the strong increase in the interest of financial advisors to join our bank is continuing. To this regard, please note that we have not need to overpay financial advisors with huge upfront fees, and the usage of aggressive approach historically taken by the industry. As a result, in the first quarter of 2022, we recorded a net increase of 64 personal financial advisors in our network, as we recruited 29 senior and 50 junior, with net sales generated organically by the bank at 88% in the period. Let's now skip to slide 18. As anticipated at the beginning of the call, we are in the sweet spot to benefit from the new market structure. In this slide, we made some changes to our guidance that are overall positive compared to our last quarter presentation. We regard our banking revenues, we expect our net financial income in 2022 to be in a range between 300 and 310 million with the current forward rate curve. Going forward, we expect our net interest income to significantly benefit from the new interest rates environment, both thanks to the sensitivity and to the volume increase. Overall, banking fees are expected above 50 million in 2022. Going forward, they are expected to keep on growing thanks to the increase of the client base into the previous repricing actions. On investing, already taking into account the negative market effect of April, up to April, we expect for 2022 revenues to increase in the region of mid-teens with higher management fee margins. In this regard, let me please underline that the last couple of quarters benefited from the acceleration linked to the substitution of Fineco Asset Management funds within the wrapper. Therefore, in the next quarter, margins are still expected to grow, but at a slower pace. We also expect a net sales of around 5 billion for both Fineco Bank Asset Under Management and for Fineco and for FAM retail classes, and increase of around 120 personal financial advisors in our network. Going forward, we confirm the guidance of around 6 billion per year in asset under management net sales and 6 billion per year in retail net sales by Fineco Asset Management. We also confirm the increase of the bank's management fees margins after tax up to 55 basis points and pre-tax margins up to around 75 basis points by 2024. On this regard, let me please underline that based on the most recent numbers, we expect to reach that level before then 2024. Brokerage revenues are expected to remain strong with a floor in relative terms respect to volatility and volumes that is definitely higher than in pre-COVID period. Let me remind that this trend has been further confirmed in the first quarter of 2022 with an excellent result, very close to the record high registered in the same period of 2021 and much higher compared to the last quarter. Operating costs in 2022 are expected to grow around 5% year-on-year, not including around 7 million of additional costs related to Fineco Asset Management strategic discontinuity to improve the efficiency of the investing value chain. On costs, let me please underline that the strategic decision to manage almost 100% internally our IT is protecting us from the inflation on IT costs. Thanks to this, we will consider in the coming month the possibility to further accelerate the marketing expenses to take advantage by the strengthening of the structural trends. Let me also add that we expect Fineco Asset Management cost to stabilize going forward. Cost income, we confirm our guidance on a continuously declining cost income in the long run, thanks to the scalability of our platform and to the strong operating gearing we have, this excluding potential higher marketing expenses. Systemic charges for 2022 are expected in a range between 42 and 44 million, booked within provisions for risk and charges. Tax rate for 2022, we expect a decrease in a range between minus 0.5 and minus 1 percentage point, considering the most recent interest rate scenario and therefore according to the revenues mix. On our capital ratio, we expect the CET1 ratio to remain above the floor of 17% and leverage ratio comfortably in range between 3.5 and 4% currently, with the combination of both a strong acceleration in the growth of the bank and the distributions of generous dividends. As you can see in the slide 52 in the annex of our presentation, the point of attention related to the leverage ratio has been definitely fixed. On dividend per share, going forward, expect it constantly increasing, also thanks to the progressive delivery on our strategic discontinuities. Cost of risk was equal to 3 basis points, thanks to the quality of our lending portfolio that is offered exclusively to our loyal customer base. In 2022, we expect it below 10 basis points. Finally, we expect robust and high-quality net sales, with a mix mainly skewed towards asset under management and with lower components of deposits, thanks to all the new initiatives we are undertaking. Let's now move to slide 19. As you know, in order to take full advantage of our new dimension of growth, we have undertaken a wide set of initiatives to keep the growth of our balance sheet under control. All this set of new initiatives is already delivering, allowing us to move towards the concept of platform, with a strong improvement in our asset under management, net sales, and with the growth of deposits definitely under control. As a result, we can already now, at the same time, sustain our strong long-term growth, distribute a higher level of dividend per share, and comfortably remaining well above our regulatory requirements. Let's now move to slide 20 to deep dive on Fineco Asset Management. As anticipated during the presentation, Fineco Asset Management is progressively delivering on its strategic discontinuity to take more control of the investing value chain, resulting in a higher revenues and margins for the group. As you can see on the top of the slide, the dynamics of Fineco Asset Management net sales are further improving regardless of the macro scenario. In the first quarter, our Irish company recorded 0.8 billion of net sales in retail classes in a market environment much more complex compared to the same period of 2021. Despite this, it's contribution to the group, to the group's net sales, more than doubled year on year. Fineco Asset Management continued to deliver it in the internalization of the value chain with a strong increase in net sales of funds underlying all wrappers. As a reminder, this process is linked to the substitution of Fineco Asset Management funds within the building block used for funds of funds or insurance wrappers, this leading to an additional margins contribution for the bank. Finally, Fineco Asset Management has further enlarged its modern product offer with the recent launch of its investment solution based on passive funds, which will allow the group to have a distinctive positioning as an innovator and to be perfectly prepared to capture a new trend that is already taking place outside Europe. Let me highlight that in the short run, these new investment solutions are useful to target wealthy clients by reducing costs and improving performance. But we expect that in the long run, this trend is going to take place in Italy too, progressively involving our whole customer base, as it's already happening, for example, in the US. To conclude, let me highlight that thanks to the full control of the value chain, our Irish company can offer at the same time both an efficient pricing for clients or retaining higher margins. I'll now leave the floor to Paolo Di Grazia, our Deputy General Manager, for an update on our UK business on slide 24.
Thank you, Alessandro, and good afternoon, everybody. Our offer in the UK is proceeding in the right direction. We are attracting experienced traders, loyal and looking for a quality offer with a strong activation rate at 65% on our brokerage offer. Let me remind you that with our best-in-class price-quality ratio offer, we are targeting a quality cluster of clients as we are not focused on hit-and-run, highly speculative and volatile customers. As you can see from the graph on the left-hand side of the slide, we now have more than 20,000 clients, with almost 2,000 clients acquired in the first 4 months of the year. The trend of our revenues generation is extremely positive. As you can see from the graph on the right-hand side of the slide, in first Q 2022, we recorded $0.5 million of brokerage revenues, almost doubling year on year. On top of this, our cross-selling is working very well, and we are continuing to improve our revenues mix in favor of the over-the-counter and listed products, which are now the lion's share of the growth. As a result, our business is progressively gaining traction and is already profitable at the operating level. On a final note, we are in the process of preparing the setup to launch our offer in Germany by the end of 22, as we think that our model, just based on the feature of German market, can be very attractive for local clients, also thanks to our unique price-quality ratio. Thank you for your attention. I'll hand it back to Alessandro.
Thank you, Paolo. And now we are ready to open to your questions.
This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Giovanni Razzoli, Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to everybody. Couple of questions on my side. You have already disclosed your inflow target for the full year 2022. I was wondering, how do you think that the significant increase in the market yields can impact your commercial policies and, at the end of the day, the average investment margin? Because probably there is more room to accelerate on multi-class products or also class one products. So if you can elaborate a bit on how these shift in the interest rates environment may impact your commercial policy. The second question, if you can share with us what is your reserve on the €21 billion of financial investments held to collect. And the last point, interesting, you said that you are recording higher brokerage revenues with lower volume. So I deducted that you are basically, your clients are basically trading richer products for you. Can you provide us a little bit more visibility on this? Because it seems that you put a lot of emphasis into the sustainability of the brokerage revenues going forward. Thank you.
Thank you for your questions. Let me start by the first one. What we observed in the past that the interest rates needed to start on having some meaningful impact on the commercial policy. You need to have 3 month Euribor close to the region of at least 2% level, so that clearly it's is still far from being there. And in that case, clearly you can expect some the beginning of a possible more interest by clients for example, asset under custody solution, something like that. But as we, and so as we explained, if tomorrow morning we are going to be in that kind of scenario, this would be absolutely great for us because on one end, we are going to make a real big fortune on the net interest income, considering the incredibly sticky and totally uncorrelated base of deposits. And at the same time, the impact in any case on the commercial strategy is going to be still minimum. So that kind of a situation is an absolutely great situation for us. And I would like to remind that the main driver that is driving up the investment margins is related to the continuous acceleration of the control of the value chain. And so, and this is going to be absolutely perfectly in place and completely, totally uncorrelated with the level of interest rates. On the second question, I leave the floor to our CFO for answering. Please, Lorena.
Thank you, Alessandro. Good afternoon to everybody. As you know, 99.9% of our bond portfolio is accounted in held-to-collect portfolio. In accordance with IFRS 9, held-to-collect business model is valued at amortized cost without impact on P&L and also on capital. This means that both P&L and reserves are not impacted by the fair value of our portfolio. So the reserves are zero.
Regarding the third question, what we mean higher brokerage revenues with lower volumes is what we mean that our clients are progressively are emerging as trading more also in a low volatility environment. And this is not necessarily driven by richer products, but also in part by this, but mostly by the fact that we have more clients that they are trading, and also particularly very important that the clients, considering the target market we have represented by wealthy and aware clients, are able to trade in every market conditions. And also the continuous improvement and broadening of the platform is offering trading opportunity to clients also when the wind is extremely light. It's like to have a sailing boat that has become much more performing also in the light breeze.
Thank you.
The next question is from Domenico Santoro with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hello there. Good afternoon. Thanks for the presentation. Some questions from my side. First of all, on the NII, the guidance that you give for 2022 implies quite an acceleration of the core NII over the next quarter. So I just want to understand what are the assumptions used in order to, you know, get the sense how much bulletproof is this guidance. First of all, have you used the forward curve that you show at page 44 to understand whether this is conditional, of course, to rates going up? And second, what kind of assumptions you have made in terms of bond portfolio rollover in terms of yield? I see that your sensitivity has increased, so I just want to understand the assumptions on this side. When you say we're not expecting any more profits from treasury, is it for 2022 or is also going forward for the next years? Because so far your trading line has been quite supportive, and of course you need to protect now the NII. The second question is on OM, on investing. I see that you revise your guidance on investing. The OM sales that you expect for this year, they are quite strong compared to the trend that we have seen so far. So my question is, what makes you so confident to accelerate the run rate for the next year? And then on margins, there was a slight decline in the quarter. When I look at the gross margin, I wonder, this is something that we should expect also for Q2, or FAM will compensate for that? Because when you were commenting the guidance instead, you specified that margin that should be up over the next quarters. On brokerage instead, first of all, April looks a little bit light, the 14 million. Is there any accounting, timing, lag for some fees that might probably be booked for the next month? And why? Or maybe there is not. And when I look at the average fee in the first quarter, the orders were strong, but the average fees, they were sort of declining quarter on quarter. So I'm just wondering whether there is a little bit of competition effect in Italy, given new entrants in the market quite aggressively pushing for these kind of services. And then just a clarification on tax rate. The fact that you reduce your guidance of decline of tax rate, is it just due to the fact that you expect now more Italian-based revenues, NII-based, or there is anything else that we should take into account? Thank you.
Yes. So let me start from there for the first questions. So this is pretty clear that what we are using is the implied forward rate curve. So we are not using any particularly internal view. So we are just using the forward rate curve. And so it's extremely easy to see the progression that we can expect. And this is going to be clearly quite massive going through 2023. Regarding the assumptions that we have behind the portfolio rollover is to maintain an average maturity of the portfolio that is in the region of 5 years. And this means that if you have a bond expiring, for example, you have to invest, there is a large portion which is going to be invested on a 10-year basis in order to keep unchanged the average maturity of the portfolio. In terms of composition, we expect that the composition is going to remain diversified. And so we are going on the long run to stay in terms of exposure to the Italian market to stay in a region of 30%, more or less. And the remaining is going to be extremely broadly distributed among the other European govies. And as we explained, the profit from treasury management and net interest margins are two kinds of communicating pots. So as we anticipated that the more the market was moving for a higher interest rate scenario, and the more you had to expect the the profit treasury management practically disappearing and everything substituted by the growth of net interest income. Clearly, the growth on the net interest income side, but I think that can be very easily calculated, is going to be so strong that clearly there is the last problem we have is to protect what is not going to be made through the profit from treasury management. So, just to give you an idea, but the financial income. Just thanks to the net interest income through 2023 is going according with the existing scenario is going to grow at least by more than 40%. So that is and going through 2024 even more. So they're talking about really huge numbers, and so clearly the problem of the lack of profit from treasury management is completely non-existing. And the decline in gross margins in the first quarter in 2022, please, Lorraine, if you want to give, but I think that is just related to seasonality, something like that. But I don't know if you want to elaborate more on the point, Lorena.
Yes, it's correct. As you can see, we have a decline of around 5 million of euros in the item cost. This is related to the usual seasonality that is at the beginning of the year due to the higher cost linked to contribution paid for the activity of our financial advisors, Sphere and Denasarco, that are mostly concentrated in the first part of the year because there is a cap. So this is the only reason.
On brokerage, as we explained, April has been characterized by an absolutely extraordinary low level of volumes. When we're talking about low level volumes, we're talking about low level volumes in the financial industry. It's not just to us. So we have some in order to find a similar level of volumes in the market that we experienced in April, you have to go back before 2018. And nevertheless, if we compare the revenues generated, for example, in that period of time when with a similar level of volumes, our revenues have been now much higher. So despite that April has not been a good month for brokerage, in relative terms has been an absolutely excellent month, because this is confirming that the floor is much higher, and absolutely there is no impact by the new competition we are facing, because it's a competition that is concentrated on really low value clients and completely far away from the target market we have. So it is exactly the contrary. The floor is keeping on rising, and April is a perfect confirmation of this. And on tax rate, yes, we expect a progressive reduction of the speed of decrease of the tax rate, just because we're expecting a massive increase of the revenues generated here in Italy, because as I was explaining, the financial income is expected to grow in a big way.
Okay, thank you very much.
Decelerate the decrease of the tax rate.
The next question is from Enrico Bolzoni with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for the presentation. Just a few questions from my end. So one on the fee margin that clearly increased quite a bit. you say that now you expect to achieve the 75 bps ahead of time. Is it possible that you might actually go beyond the 75 basis point? And for example, I think about mix shift, considering that I presume this quarter was pretty negative in terms of mix shift, and despite that, you had a positive increase there. So that's the first question. The second question was on the trading profit that was quite strong. I just wanted to ask you to comment maybe on the drivers. I know you clearly benefit from internalizing trades. Has there been a substantial amount of trades that was internalized over the quarter, or is there any other driver that we should think of? Another question is on the flows that you posted for April in asset under custody. They were actually pretty strong. Do you have any visibility in terms of what clients are doing? Is it because you think they are maybe early sign of repositioning in the market, and in a way we could expect then strong trading numbers maybe in the coming months, considering the strong flows in IUC? And then maybe one final question is on your international presence. So one is in the UK. I mean, the growth slowed down there a bit. Have you reconsidered maybe pushing a bit more with marketing or doing something to basically accelerate there? And what should we think when we think about Germany? So should we think something similar to the UK in terms of your ambitions, in terms of targets, customer growth, or you think that maybe because it's a more similar market, you can grow faster than what you've done in the UK so far? Thank you.
Yes, thank you. So regarding the first question, the answer is yes. The fact that we expect a growing probability to achieve the 75 basis points ahead of time, clearly this is paving the way for going beyond the 75 basis points margin. So the answer is yes. Trading profit, you are referring to the trading profit related to the brokerage business, I assume.
That's right, thanks.
Yes. So this is clearly the trading profit is a byproduct by the volumes on the market. So the higher are the volumes we are trading, and the higher is the possibility to internalize, so the internalized clients' orders, because our trading profit is 100% commercially driven. Is we are matching the clients' orders, and so the higher are the volumes and the activity by clients, and the higher tends to be the trading profit. April flows in asset under custody has been extremely strong, and the reason is that the clients that they are the cluster of clients that is interested in asset under custody is represented by the cluster of clients that they are mostly driven by the what we call the tactical asset allocation of their portfolio. So they tend to be extremely reactive to the market moves. And these clients tend to be contrarians. So the more so they tend to buy when the market is going down and selling when the market is going up. And this exactly was what's happening. We have also a part of the clients that they are clients of financial planners that they have that they are at the same time interested in strategic asset allocation and tactical asset allocation. So the same story, and probably going forward means clearly that the higher is the amount of asset under custody we have. And clearly, and the higher is the base for producing higher commissions on brokerage. This is a matter of fact. So it's so these are more or less is what we are observing, but it's not different from what has happened also in the past. So it's a typical approach by this cluster of clients. So they are trying to take advantage by the large swings that they are on the market. Is On UK growth, yeah, you're right, is a little bit down, but this is just because we are still in the process of understanding exactly the final setup following the interaction we are having with the local authorities, And so we prefer to be a little bit cautious. So before pushing again more on marketing there, we want to have the final picture completely finalized. So the discussion is still underway. And so our expectation is to come to the conclusion in the next following month. And Germany is clearly even more straightforward market for us, because we have no any roadblocks represented by the fact that UK now is not anymore in the European Union. So everything is going to be very straightforward. And Germany is an extremely interesting market because it's a complex and competitive market, but at the same time is characterized by extremely reactive clients, and we think that Fineco can be extremely competitive in comparison with what are the prevailing offer there. So definitely, probably, the opportunity in Germany is, in my opinion, runs the risk to be even bigger than in UK. I don't know. What do you think, Paolo, on the point?
Well, yes, I totally agree. Germany is a great market for us. Again, we have a great offer in terms of value for money, and I think we can be very successful there.
Thanks.
The next question is from Angeliki Bairaktari with Autonomous Research. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. First of all, I see your updated guidance for AUM net flows at 5 billion this year. If we look at the year to date print, including April, and annualize that, this implies around 4 billion in AUM net flows. So I get from that you expect an acceleration in AUM net flows in the coming months. Do you think, based on sort of the behavior of clients that you have observed in previous market corrections, do you think that clients could step in and invest a bit more in the market, assuming there is a stabilization? What is sort of the underlying scenario of market conditions that you have that underpins that 5 billion AUM net flow target? Second question on banking fees. The guidance is for more than 50 million for this year. How sustainable is that going into 2023 and beyond? I am in particular thinking that, you know, obviously you repriced, your offering traditionally has been one of free current accounts. You repriced the current accounts due to the persistently low negative interest rate environment. But now this is changing, obviously. Is there any chance that you could revert gradually back to offering free current accounts, or you don't foresee that at the moment? And last question on brokerage. If I remember correctly, in the last quarter, you were hoping that brokerage could be flat or even exceed the 2021 level of brokerage revenues this year. Is it fair to assume that we should be a bit more cautious now and potentially expect brokerage to be below the 2021 level in 2022? Thank you.
No, thank you for your question. So let me start by the guidance on asset under management, 5 billion. Yes, the assumption behind it is based on our past experience. So as soon as we have the market stabilizing, so the market is stabilizing doesn't mean necessarily market that is starting and going up. Just means that we don't have any additional shock in the market, something that is unexpected. So because starting from the beginning of the year, we had three shocks. So the first one is the announcement by the central banks of their change in terms of view on the inflation direction. The second one has been the beginning of the conflict in Ukraine, and the third one has been the renewal of concern on the possible much more aggressive hikes of interest rates that is just recent. And nevertheless, because what we were observing that every time that the market is able to digest the negative news, and without having an additional brand new negative news flows, then we start on picking up again. And so the assumption is that at the end of the story, to have a kind of, not seeing bright skies in front of us, but in a little bit more stable market in which everything that is negative has been, let me say, digested. And so we can progressively return to the business as usual. So this has been always the history also in the past. And so this is the reason why we are still remaining with the expectation of 5 billion. So this is the rationale. On the banking fees, you are completely right. is a very good question, because now considering that we are expecting a really massive increase of the financial income that is going to be really huge, and so theoretically the banking fees, so the charging a price on the clients looks a little bit is paling in front of the dimension of the financial income, so it's not necessarily any more needed. At the same time, we think that to have the clients paying a fee the bank giving back to them when they are becoming good clients is an extremely healthy approach, because it's preventing the bank from taking on board extremely low value clients. So we think that we can't rule out to move in direction of making a special offer for certain cluster of clients, for example, for the young clients. This for sure, but this is what we are doing right now. And going back again to the concept of zero commission on the banking account, we don't think that it's a good idea. Exactly, because the risk is to start again on onboarding a cluster of clients on which we have not a great interest. And on the brokerage, yes, you are correct. We guided the market at the beginning of the year with revenues flat or even higher. And we think that when we are giving the guidance, what we are assuming is a kind of a neutral scenario. So a scenario in which we don't expect anything spectacular, both on the positive and the negative side. So the guidance has been given expecting a normal volatility, not too high, not too low, and the same story for the volumes. And so we remain on the point. So it's clear that if we enter in a period in which every month is in terms of volumes on the market is exactly the same we experienced in April, clearly it's difficult that we can achieve higher revenues. But for example, it's just in the last few days, for example, brokerage is back again, is roaring back again, and with the volumes and so on. So we think that brokerage, if we stay in, let me say, decent market conditions for brokerage, so with a decent level of volatility, decent level of volumes, yes, we think that we have the possibility to get flat or even higher revenues. Also because last year has been characterized by an extremely disappointing second part of the year. So the last year has been a year in which the first quarter has been absolutely amazing, mostly driven by the all everything happening in US with the GameStop and so on. And then the volatility has kept on collapsing, volumes going down, and so has been not a particularly exciting environment for brokerage last year. So this is the reason why we think that in the case we have decent conditions with a normal level of volatility, normal volumes, yes, we think that we are still on track for getting consistently so flat or even higher revenues.
The next question is from Filippo Prini with Kepler. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, thank you. Two brief questions, if you may. The first one is on your guidance on cost, excluding the expansion abroad and farming tech, your guidance of plus 5%. You mentioned that you are pretty immune from IT inflation. Just wondering if you could be immune also from some salary inflation, so for a part of labor cost in the next year. And the second one is on lending. And see on the slide on lending that basically you kept, excluding mortgages, the expected yield unchanged. Just wondering if you do not expect into guidance or by higher interest rate any contribution going forward also from the lending portfolio. Thank you.
On guidance on cost, we don't expect a significant wage inflation for two main reasons. One, that because historically the Italian labor market is much more rigid than in other regions in Europe, and so we think that in any case the wage inflation in Italy is going to be less relevant than in other parts of Europe. And second, Fineco is a factory, so we are not an investment bank, we are not an asset manager. So clearly, by definition, the level of exposure to the wage inflation in a company that is a factory clearly is much lower. So, and this is the reason why we are in our projections, we are embedding some salary drift, but it's not going to be anything spectacular. And lending, we want to remind that lending for us is an ancillary business. So we are mostly the only real kind of lending that is for us is really important is the Lombard, because it's strictly related to the investing business. And on mortgages, we have not such a great appetite, because what we are observing that the banking system is keeping on using mortgages as a marketing tool, and so providing solutions that they are not in line with the prevailing market conditions. And from a mathematical point of view, the reason why we expect yield and change, I'm leaving the floor to the CFO on that point. I think that she is much more familiar with these numbers than I am.
But to be honest, we have increased the expected yield, because in the previous presentation we have 55 basis points, and now 60-70 basis points. So we have increased the average yield.
Yes, thank you. It was just excluding mortgages, just focusing on personal loans and Lombard.
Yes, The Lombard is we have to wait physically for the 3-month Euribor being back positive. So as soon as the 3-month Euribor is not anymore negative and is positive, we are going to start on enjoying an increase also on the margins on the Lombard. And on personal loans, is a small, extremely profitable business. So we don't see any reason for increasing the rates we are charging to clients.
Okay,
also, because in the personal loans, so there is the the classical case of the inverse selection. So the higher the rates we are charging to your clients, and the worse is the quality of clients you are attracting usually.
Mr. Foti, there are no more questions registered at this time. I turn the conference back to you for any closing remarks.
Now, thank you for attending our conference, and as usual for everybody that is in the need of deep diving in our numbers and guidance, please we are available for any kind of follow up on the presentation. Thank you again for attending the conference.